Hey everyone, my name is Mitchell, and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We are so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way for you to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
Let's open our Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 15. If you don't have a Bible, I want to encourage you to share with someone sitting next to you, or you can take out your phone, you can download a Bible app or the River Church app. I want to encourage you to be following along in the Bible for yourself. If you're a guest, I want to welcome you. Thanks for being here. Happy Easter. My name is Josh Combs. I'm the lead pastor of the River and location pastor here, and honored to be with you today on Easter Sunday. Luke chapter 15, Jesus is telling a sequence of stories. Sometimes we call those stories parables. And each of the stories has to do with something that is lost and then found. So the first story is a story of a lost animal, a lost sheep that was miraculously found. And then the second story was some lost money that was then found. And the third story is a story of a lost family member. Now, when Jesus tells stories, or again, parables, it's important to know who he's talking to. That's the way of understanding the point that Jesus is making with the story. So if you look at Luke chapter 15 and verse 1, you see the audience of these stories, the listeners, the hearers. The Bible says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and scribes grumbled." So two very extremely different groups. On one hand, you had, in verse 2, the Pharisees and the scribes, very religious people, people that on the outside seemed to have life put together. These were educated. These were, again, religious people. So on one extreme, you had the scribes and Pharisees. On the other end, you had the opposite. You had what the Bible calls there in verse 1, the tax collectors and sinners. Tax collectors were people despised in their society, both for the act of collecting taxes and because they were viewed as being traitors to their own people. You also had, the Bible says here in Luke 15, sinners. Those who on the outside clearly did not have life together. These are those who were struggling, criminal history, or issues with addiction, struggles in their family, divorce. This is that group of people. And they're both sitting there as Jesus begins to tell these stories. Verse number 11, let's look at the story, the third one. "And he said, there was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me,' meaning my inheritance. And he, the father, divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country. He began to be in need, so he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. He was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. The young man goes to his father, essentially says, 'Dad, I thought you would be dead by now. And since you are not dead, I want my inheritance, what I'm getting from your estate when you die.' The father gives his sons the inheritance. The younger takes what he's given and he begins to live like a wild person, travels to a foreign country, getting away from any sort of structure or accountability, and he begins to spend all of that money, the Bible says, in reckless living. But before long, the money is gone, the party is over, and he finds himself broke and lonely. Then a famine comes. He begins to not only be alone, but he begins to be facing starvation. He goes and he hires himself out as a common, low-level, bottom-of-the-rung laborer to a foreigner. And not just any foreigner, but a pig-farming foreigner. To the Jewish listeners that are hearing this story for the first time, as Jesus is telling it, this young man in their mind could have not fallen any further. He was at rock bottom, or in their minds, below rock bottom. There he is in the pig pen, verse 17. And he has a moment of clarity. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. Rock bottom, he has this moment of clarity where he thinks, I'm jealous of the food that the pigs are eating, and back in my father's house, even the lowest slave is housed and fed way better than I am right now. I will go back to my father and I will say to him, I don't want my old room back. I don't want my old status back as a son. I would just like the privilege of working on the farm, working on the estate, working in the house. Make me the lowest level servant. That would be better than the pig pen. So the Bible tells us in verse 20, he begins to make his way home. And the scripture says there, while he was still a long way off, a long way from what he was when he left. He left proud and wealthy, full of himself. He comes back broken, hungry, dirty, smelly. A very different young man is returning in the story. And the Bible says in verse 20, when the father saw him, he felt compassion and ran and embraced and kissed him. The son repents to his father. The father welcomes his son home. He puts shoes on his feet, gives him a new set of clothes, a ring on his hand, kills the fatted calf, throws a party, because in verse 24, the father said, my son was dead, is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Jesus tells this story, and clearly the younger son, the younger brother, is the part of the story that speaks to the sinners and the tax collectors in the audience. It's people who knew and know they are far from God. It's people who know that they've made a mess and they feel stuck and they wonder if God could welcome them back. It's the people that on the outside their life looks like a mess and they wonder, is there any hope for me? Maybe you're sitting here right now. And that's your story. You feel stuck and alone. There's a hunger, not necessarily for food in your stomach, but a hunger in your heart for meaning, to be known, to be loved. I want you to know that God so loves you that he gave his only son. God sent Jesus, and Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins. Not just the sins that you think are small sins, but the sins that right now in your heart you believe are impossible for God to forgive. The Bible says Jesus died for our sins, and he was buried, and he rose from the dead. And if you right now, eyes closed, eyes shut, doesn't matter what you're doing there. The Bible says if you will confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you'll be saved. save from the eternal consequences of your sin. You will be forgiven by God. You will stand cleansed before a holy God, and you will be given in this moment, on this Easter Sunday, the free gift of eternal life. Your eternal destiny will be secure, not because of your choices or because of your good works, but because of grace from God through Jesus. That's the gospel. Well, the Bible says there were two sons. Verse 25. Now his older son was in the field. As he came, he drew near to the house and he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And the servant said to him, "Your brother has come, your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound." The older brother is coming in from the fields. Clearly, he is diligent, responsible, hardworking, and he hears the news of his brother. Maybe in your mind, you think he's going to race into the house, embrace his brother, and say, "Welcome back. Isn't it great that the father," verse 27, "has received you back safe and sound? Isn't it great that dad has forgiven you? Isn't it great that dad doesn't hold a grudge? You're back in the family, you're back. This is amazing. We never thought this day would happen." But that's not the way the older son, the older brother, responds. Verse 28, the Bible says, "But he was angry and refused to go in." On the outside, this brother seems to be faithful and respectful to the father. On the outside, this brother seems to be very different than the younger brother who made a mess of his life. Glad you're not like that guy. Clearly on the outside, this guy looks like the faithful son, but something was rotten, something was wrong in the heart. He sees the father's grace. He sees the father's joy. He sees the party in the house, and he begins to seethe with anger. Verse 28, to the point of saying, "I refuse to go in." He wouldn't join in the celebration. He is mad. He's mad at the brother. He's mad at the father. He's mad at all that's going on. So verse 28, the father came out and entreated him. Humbly, the father comes to the older son. "Son, come in. Your brother, he was lost. We just wrote him off for dead. Here he is, returned. This is a glorious moment for you, for me, for our family. This is an incredible celebration. Please come in the house." Verse 29, here's the older brother, the older son's response. He answered his father, "Look." Very different than the humility that we see from the younger brother as he approaches the dad and says, "Father." You can see the older brother pointing at the dad. "Look, these many years I have served you," he says. "I have never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends." Here it is now. What has been in the inside, what has been in his heart, is now coming out. The older brother is the Pharisees, the scribes. The one who on the outside looked religious, the one who on the outside looked like they worshiped God, honored God, but there was a problem deep in the heart. Jesus says about these Pharisees, "They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Meaning Jesus is speaking to the motives. He's speaking to the deepest part of who we are. Hebrews says he discerns the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Here it is now coming out. "Look." No respect for the father. "Look, these many years I have served you. Look at what I have done for you. I have never disobeyed your command." Here he is overstating his own goodness. There's no child. There's no grown adult son or daughter who can look their parents square in the face and say, "Just want to let you know I never disobeyed you. When you told me to do something, I always did it immediately and with the best attitude." You know that if your adult child says that to you, they are lying. It's impossible. Because the Bible says all have sinned. Meaning all have broken God's holy standards, God's rules. 1 John says, if we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar and God's word is not in us. This older brother says to his dad, look. Look at all that I've done for you. Look at my effort. Look at my achievements. I've never disobeyed you, yet you never gave me a young goat. You never gave me what I wanted. Here, the older brother is demonstrating a lack of gratitude towards his father. Now in verse 30 he says, but when this son of yours, he refuses to acknowledge the brother as his own brother. He says, this son of yours came. The older brother distances himself from both his brother and his father. He says, when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. He's saying to the dad, look at all that I've done for you. I was faithful. I stayed here. I didn't go anywhere. I just came in from the farm and here you guys are partying. Never disobeyed. I've always done what you said to do. Here he is lying about his own perfect obedience, record of obedience. He's demonstrating a lack of gratitude. Now he's basically looking at the dead saying, you're killing the fatted calf for the son, for the brother. You wouldn't even give me a young goat and I'm better than him. I haven't done what he's done. Look at what he went and spent all your hard-earned money on prostitutes. He is just a loser. One writer said, the older brother, he may have avoided sins of passion, but all the while sins of attitude were running rampant. We do the same thing. We do not regard our jealousy, pride, judgmentalism as sins. We call them faults or shortcomings. We like to compare. Look at this mess over here. Glad I'm not that guy. I guess I have some shortcomings. I know I'm not perfect, but I'm not that sinner. The older brother separated himself from the younger brother and from the father. Another writer says the older brother had been around the father, but does not really know him well. This is the religious crowd. Some sitting here today, maybe you hear the story of the younger brother and you say, that's me. I want you to know God can forgive you. God can cleanse you. God can make you new. But there's a lot of religious people sitting here. Some watching online right now. The truth of the matter is, you've been near to godly things for a long time, but you don't truly know God. Your relationship with God is based on, look at what I've done. Look at the work. Your interaction with God is based upon, look at what I've done, and God also noticed what I haven't done. I know I'm not 100% perfect, but I'm pretty close, God. I clearly haven't done those terrible sins. I'm not like my sister, I'm not like my brother, I'm not like my dad or mom or cousin. And our relationship with God, our interaction with God is based upon achieving and not receiving. The Bible says, for by grace, grace meaning getting from God what we do not deserve, for by grace you are saved through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, so nobody gets to boast. No one gets to brag. John chapter 1 says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. The message of Jesus is that you and I cannot achieve heaven. We cannot earn salvation. We cannot be good enough to get to heaven. We need grace. Jesus comes and he dies on the cross. Please hear me. Not just for the tax collectors and sinners, but for the religious as well. The ones who on the outside look like a mess, and the ones who on the outside look good, but inside are a mess. Who believe that they can earn salvation. What that really is pride. And the Bible says God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The older brother is someone who is near to godly things but does not know God. It's a heart that relies on personal effort and achievement to earn the Father's favor, earn heaven. Maybe like the older brother, you overstate or overplay your own goodness. Maybe you lack gratitude to God. You feel a sense of entitlement or that you deserve it. The older brother and many religious people do not see their need for grace. The father pleads in verse 31 and verse 32 with the older son. He pleads with him to come to the party, to come into the father's house, to come into fellowship with the father, relationship with the father. And then the story just kind of ends with this to be continued. Because Jesus is laying a choice before the Pharisees, the scribes, the tax collectors, the sinners. And he's setting a choice in front of you and I. I know what it's like to be the older brother. To know the songs and to know how to act in church, the verses. And I think there's some men and women sitting here who know that same thing. On the outside, try to hold it all together, but deep in your heart, there is a rebellion against God that needs to be surrendered. Both the older brother and the younger brother need the cross, need the gospel, that Jesus died for our sins, the ones that are very public and the ones we feel like we're keeping private. God sees them all. Jesus came and he died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin and mine. He was buried, he rose from the dead, and it's through what Jesus did that you right now can be forgiven of the things that people know about and the things you have fought so hard to keep private. You can be forgiven, you can be cleansed, you can be pardoned before a holy God. And the Bible says, if you'll confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you'll be saved. That is the gospel message and the response that you can come to God, confess him as king, boss, owner, Lord of your life, and believe in the resurrection, and you can be saved.